This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
I got here with remarkable parents and remarkable circumstances. You know, it's as I continue to stack up accolades, one of the things I spend a lot of time on is making sure that I put my fingers in my ears because the more attention you get, the more over admiration you get and the more headline reading cynicism you get. And as a human being, you know, you have feelings and so you have to kind of keep yourself in the middle. So when you said, how did I get here? Every time I get, when I post a viral video on social media, there will be 75% ridiculously positive affirmation. At this point in my career, thousands of goat emojis. And when another human being is telling you you're the best, you know, you really, it's actually a very dangerous message because I've watched a lot of my contemporaries and my friends actually believe it. And you start to lose touch and you can be very affected by those kind of situations. More equally important and a much bigger conversation in our society, a lot of people on this call are not sharing content on the internet because of negative feedback. They, you know, visually or somebody saying that's stupid or wrong, or the, you know, obviously the people on this call work in a big company. It's a fear-based reality that's stopping people from sharing thoughts, dreams, interests, things in their mind. And, you know, one of the great things about putting fingers in your ears and not hearing the accolades is you also don't hear the blind skepticism, cynicism, negativity that I think has really hurt a lot of people in the last decade. And we blame social media, which is a profoundly lazy point of view, because these platforms are empty. You know, as people now move to TikTok, you know, how evil is Facebook is gonna become the question, right? Like, we're very naive that what's happening is we're exposing ourselves, not these platforms are changing us. You know, Twitter did not make you a racist, you know? And I think that we humans lack accountability and a lot of things. So I do a lot of thinking of human behavior, which is what makes me a strong marketer. I got here through great circumstance. I was born in the Soviet Union in a place that's now a country known as Belarus. So we finally hit the world map for some atrocious reasons. So my whole life, nobody knew where I was from, and now they do, and it was better when nobody knew where I was from. So it's had a dictator since the fall of the USSR. It has literally been the only country in the former USSR that has stayed dictatorship. So that's unfortunate, which you can imagine makes me incredibly grateful that I was part of a small contingent of refugees from Jewish descent that were able to leave the Soviet Union in the late 70s. So in the late 70s, a couple hundred thousand Jews were able to leave the Soviet Union. A lot of people on this call don't know this, but communist Russia would not let people leave the country. It was actual jail. And so from 1918 to 1991, very few people ever left that country that were born in it because you weren't allowed to. So you can imagine how much my life is based on gratitude. Not to mention I was born with entrepreneurial DNA, so in this country I'm a hero. In that country I probably would be in jail or dead. So I'm an incredibly grateful kid with an all-time Hall of Fame mother who created tremendous levels of self-esteem, but not delusion. So there was nothing but accountability. There was no eighth place trophies, but yet I was still confident. And that led to a really interesting upbringing, being an immigrant. You know, as looking around some of the screens, this, whether they're the immigrant or their parents were, or they clearly come from immigrant parents, this will probably resonate with some. You know, education was the way out in the 70s and 80s and 90s for immigrant families. I proceeded to become an all-time horrible student. I'm one of the worst students of all time. This is my class rank. I was the 243rd worst student out of 254. I had a 1.67 GPA. I failed everything. And it really actually was a very good preview into who I am. What we are currently doing as partners under Sean's leadership and the relationship that we're starting to get, not knowing how much everyone's touching Vayner or Sean or the work we're doing, but I've been very comfortable my whole life fighting against the status quo when the status quo was based in delusion. And education in the 80s for a kid like me was based in delusion. I was on my way to becoming a profound entrepreneur, and for 12 years of my life, school did nothing for me. Zero. It is a real shame. It's really sad that we don't have the ability to create an infrastructure that allows us to actually audit a child and put her or him in the best position to succeed. And so I got very comfortable in fourth grade putting my middle finger up to the system, which takes profound like wisdom and like talk about winning the DNA kind of lottery. I always, you know, looking back in my life, I always spent time with 80 and 90 year olds. Like my friends' grandparents would visit for the weekend and I like would sit with them outside and talk for 2 hours at 9 years old. That's just very different. Now it all makes sense more to me, but I always had kind of old soul, a wisdom, a perspective, and I just was very self-aware, John, team. I knew in fourth, fifth grade that memorizing the periodic table was gonna have 0.0 impact on my life, and I was lucky enough that I had a mother who always punished me for my report card, every time. 2 weeks, no TV, no video games, no phones, no friends. It was like standard time, like literally winter, spring, summer, fall, like punished. She was a little more lenient on me for summer vacations. So I knew that it was wrong, but she kind of made me know that it wasn't wrong. And by the time I was 9, 10, 11, 12, I started making so much money selling baseball cards that it got weird. You know, I'm 11 years old making $2,000 a weekend in the 80s, which is like $100,000, you know, now. And like, and when you're 11, $2,000 is like $47 trillion, you know. And I was learning consumer, John. I was learning consumer. My father lived his American dream. He went from being a stock boy in a liquor store in New Jersey to owning his own store. I turned 14, immigrant life. 14's a grown up, by the way, for the Americans in here. And, you know, that means I go to work, and I worked every weekend and every summer vacation of my entire life after 14 years old in a retail store, which you can imagine is just, it's been a profound advantage for my agency. I'm consumer only. I have no patience for your internal MMA. I have no patience for Ad Age. I have no patience for Cannes Lions. I have no patience for Johns in every organization making a subjective call on one video and pushing it down to the consumer in network television in 2022. Like the lack of common sense and consumer centricality in this industry is profound. And that's why we're seeing so much disruption. And what our holding company is doing is saying, instead of fixing our marketing, we're just spending more money on M&A-ing brands that are doing what I want you to do, right? And so much opportunity, and that all happened, John, of how I got here. It was only consumer. This is actually very important to all the parents in here. Something that's very clear to me now that I have tens of millions of fans under the age of 18, what us parents in this room give positive affirmation to for our kids is who they will become. So if you have... One thing that's, I'll give you an example. One thing that's incredibly dangerous, because it's impossibly hard, is when your child is extremely pretty, boy or girl. You can't help it as a parent to naturally affirm that. You're beautiful. Like, it's just, that human at 37 years old has their self-worth wrapped up in their physical appearance. When you do it around school, you're training them to play within affirmations that are every 90 days. Wall Street, corporate, da, da, da. When it is about sports, when they hit 20 and realize they're not gonna be a professional athlete, they become quite lonely. So what my mother did, and what I try to do for my two children, and what I look at the world, and that's what I do for a living, I'm a human anthropologist. What I see is if we can make affirmation around good human traits, like you're a kind person. Like my son's incredibly empathetic like I am. Like somebody skids their knee in a basketball game, he hit his coach the other day. He's a good baseball player. Coach is pitching, he's good. He drilled the line drive, it hit the coach's shoulder. He's a competitive kid like me, not as crazy off the Richter scale like I am, but he's competitive and he stopped running to first base and ran to the coach, are you okay? The coach was emotional after the game saying that no kid has ever done that in 27 years. That didn't even finish running the base. I have basically, with my son, turned that into the greatest moment in humanity's history. Because I want his positive affirmation framework to be around being a good person, not because he's adorable or because he's good at baseball or because this, that, and the other thing. And so I got here because the affirmation I was getting was from a mother who was saying being nice is the most important thing in the world, and from the world saying that I was good at business. I was getting poor affirmation from my friends, parents, and school because I was bad at school, and that was everything and everything, right? But I was getting such positive affirmation from the market, right? My lemonade stand did well. My baseball card thing was going great. I go into my dad's store and I'm selling a ton of wine at 15 years old, which is sounds like it should be a crime, if anything. And so, you know, it was really working for me, and I became addicted to the market, the consumer, nothing else. Me and the consumer, nothing else. Not my internal shop, not you, not Sean, and not you. Only thing I ever uphold is the consumer. And Sean will tell you, maybe if this talk resonates, maybe 2 years from now over a drink and you bring it up, he'll tell you, this is because it's true, I do not make decisions based on the P&L. And that is a profound consumer advantage. Because I'm not held accountable to what you are, because you can't, I'm empathetic to that. But why we're different is because I can, and I just want to get every client to be dramatically more consumer-centric, because when you're consumer-centric, everything gets fixed.